Happy Thanksgiving. Do you have your holiday shopping done yet? Just kidding. I'm Joy Cardine. This is the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. It's 8 minutes past 8 o'clock on this Thursday, November the 24th. We are being bombarded with ads to go shopping on Black Friday tomorrow, to support local businesses on Small Business Saturday on Saturday. And then there are the online deals that are waiting to be had on Cyber Monday. There's always such a frenzy over buying stuff around this time of year that one Thanksgiving, many years ago, we asked financial counselor Connie Kilmark to talk with us about meaningful gift giving, not necessarily expensive gift giving. And we asked you, what is the best gift you've ever given or received? And by best, we mean most meaningful, the most thoughtful or heartfelt or memorable, not necessarily the most expensive. And the response was amazing and really eye-opening and incredibly touching. A tear will come to your eye during this hour, and it's become a Thanksgiving Day tradition. It's one we repeat this hour, and we welcome your calls at 1-800-642-1234 or send an email to talk@wpr.org. Tell us about a memorable gift, a gift that was just perfect for you, and why. The best gift you've ever given or received. Connie Kilmark is founder of the counseling and consulting firm Kilmark & Associates. Good morning, Connie, and happy Thanksgiving.
Good morning, Joy.
And what is one of the best gifts that you've given or received this year?
Well, this year I wanted to talk about two things. As we all know, we're in the midst of a very uncertain economic situation. And there's a lot of anxiety, a lot of fearfulness, even among people who have jobs. There's anxiety in the workplace. And I had the great good fortune professionally to be asked by the Wisconsin Women in Higher Education Leadership to do their spring seminars. And I had the opportunity to work around the state doing 5 day-long workshops with women. What's the genius of the Wisconsin Women in Higher Education Leadership Group is that they gather women across the workplace. So that means that there are people who are workers in the kitchen. There are people who are vice presidents of the colleges that they represent. There could be tenured professors. There could be secretaries. There could be janitors in the room. And they're there together because they're women in the workplace together. It's the second time that I've done that set of seminars, and this year it was all about how to get our feet on the ground in extremely trying times that are so uncertain, where we really don't know if there are really safe grown-ups in our playgrounds, if you know what I mean. And it was such a privilege. I talked to women at the College of Menominee Nation. I was in Eau Claire, in Milwaukee, in Madison. It was just such a privilege. So those women, very interactive workshop. If you're with people for a whole day, I think I must have taken away as much as I brought for those women and enjoyed them very much. The second thing I'd like to mention for a privilege this year is much more personal. Recently, and I mean very recently, on November 10th, a very dear friend passed away. And you might say that a death is not something that's a gift. But the passing of this friend, whose name was Cynthia, puts me in mind of what a really remarkable life I had the privilege of knowing. She was brave. She was funny. She was hospitable. She was ironic and sarcastic in the best way, because she didn't deal with stuffed shirts very well. She was always able to see through to the soul of people. And as a result of her passing away, I'm very much in mind of the privilege of the life of a good friend, a really remarkable woman, a woman whom I think of as a role model, not in a big public way, but on issues she cared about. She was indomitable, a little tiny person who, honestly, I would not want to have on the other side of a dispute when she is passionate on behalf of the underdog, and that was really where she shone. So, in memoriam, Cynthia.
Well, I'm very sorry for the loss of your friend, but I know what you mean when you speak of, in some ways, it's a gift, knowing that person, and that person can become a part of you, but it does, I'm going to say in memoriam to former Milwaukee Journal Sentinel columnist Tim Caprison, who also wrote a media column for onmilwaukee.com, just passed away on Wednesday. And he was a frequent guest on Wisconsin Public Radio, and he was funny, and he was warm, and he was smart, and he was kind, and it really did. He had posted something on Facebook just a week ago where he said, "I'm really looking forward to this Thanksgiving. I am grateful for so many things. Most of them are people."
So there we are. We have him right in our midst. These are two rays of sunshine. They made the world better by being eminently themselves.
Yeah. But you also wanted to talk about the series of workshops because you felt it was a gift to be given that opportunity.
Tremendous gift. First of all, I love preparing for these opportunities. And this particular opportunity was, on the surface, help us to understand money. But at a moment like this, what we really have to understand is money's right place in a larger way of being human. And I had the opportunity to remind folks that our human community, our connections with each other, is the origin and the most timeless way of establishing wealth. And in a time of economic uncertainty, I would assert that that becomes very clear, that the people in our lives, that the local connections that we have, the stewardship of our nonprofits as they face an even more difficult time than some of us because they're serving so many people right now. The going out and volunteering time, because if you don't have money, sometimes we have extra time on our hands. The best way I know of to get through a period when you're anxious, aside from looking for a job, is to get out there and get some relief from thinking about yourself by going and doing some volunteer work. It establishes a network of connections, and it gives you a chance to know that you're not just a hopeful receiver, you're also a donor, even when you feel like you are out of work and have nothing. So being a donor gives you a feeling of generosity, and in fact is an act of generosity, and it can be done anytime.
You know what I did this year, Connie, and I wonder what you think of this. I am not out of a job. I thankfully have my job. Things are a little tighter this year than they
right.
have been. But I realized that, and while I didn't give gifts stuff to everybody that I knew in terms of every family member and every friend and that sort of thing, I made kind of a decision that I'm not going to that there's no need to do stuff this year, and I kind of told everybody, I'm just don't buy me stuff. It's okay, and let's not, you know, let's have an event together. Let's spend some time together, but let's not buy each other presents. And we're not, and so a lot of us are not doing it this year.
I think there's a really interesting national shift that's happening that I don't think is going to just go away easily. I think people are sort of awakening to looking at what they own and saying, okay, in tough times, are these things really making me happy? And in the process of cleaning for Thanksgiving, I've put some things, you know, kind of like the St. Vinny's bag and the maybe somebody else will like this or that. But I'm in the same mood as you are. I have a feeling that this is a year, and maybe it's unfortunate for our merchants,
yeah.
That we just want meaning, and we want the reassurance of human connection as opposed to stuff. But if you are going to shop, let me once again plug one of my very favorite shops, and that is a small local business on Monroe Street called Serve. They do such a great job of collecting the crafts, the fair trade crafts of the whole world, and they do just a beautiful job of displaying them and explaining them and telling you about the people and the crafts. And sometimes the women, mostly women, who make these things make a visit to Madison and do some sharing and some explaining. So we get a little bit of the flavor of the multicultural essence of the world that's right there on Monroe
yeah,
Street.
Yeah, I I've been there and I will go there again. You know, I have a little bit of, I don't want to sound like an infomercial here by any means, but I do want to let listeners know that we certainly encourage you to buy local as well, but we know that people do buy online. And if you shop with our online partners like the NPR shop, you can purchase merchandise from National Public Radio or Amazon.com. A portion of your purchase can benefit Wisconsin Public Radio. You can go to WPR.org/shop. So go to our website, and if you do the online merchants through our website, that way we will benefit from a portion of your purchase.
Oh, and I think that's a really nice fact to know, and I didn't know that.
It just started. And again, when I say we benefit, I mean that Wisconsin Public Radio receives a portion of the proceeds, and that will help pay for the programming that you're listening to right now. So,
well, you know. Again and again, the gifts that we've heard about over the years on this show have not been things. It speaks very directly to your point. Things are wonderful, things are shiny, things are bright, they're fun, but the things that seem to be memorable and are most deeply embedded in the stories of our lives are things that are events and connections and forgivenesses and generosities that really don't have very much to do with objects.
Yeah. And you know, and I want to share one. I don't have a lot personally. Maybe later I'll share one that is an object. But Amanda Magnus, who's our new producer, when I asked what's the, most memorable gift you've ever given or received, because we're going to do this program, she told me one that I thought was along the lines of some of the items that we hear during this program. Her boyfriend, and I think this is because Amanda moved from the East Coast to Wisconsin, and he gave her a gift of a purse or a bag that he made with one of his shirts.
Oh,
is that lovely or what? He sewed this bag, and he used one of his shirts, which I think Amanda liked this particular shirt, so she could have, a part of him with her.
Okay, so now I want to simply say that might be a gift to Amanda, but it's certainly a great way for her boyfriend to keep Amanda in mind of him if there's a distance that happens to be separating them at the moment.
He's a smart cookie, apparently.
Absolutely. Absolutely. It might even have a little of the smell of him on it. That's a very powerful reminder.
She nodded a little bit. So yes, there we go. There we go. But it still was very thoughtful.
It's tremendously thoughtful and deeply personal.
Yeah. Yeah. So anyway, what is the most meaningful gift you've ever given or received? 1-800-642-1234 or send an email to talk@WPR.org. I'm Joy Cardine with Connie Kilmark, founder of the counseling and consulting firm Kilmark & Associates. And this is the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. This is the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. I'm Joy Cardine. Happy Thanksgiving to you. I hope you stay tuned. Lots more Thanksgiving-related programming coming up. There's a special program called Turkey Confidential at 10 o'clock this morning. This is hosted by the Splendid Tables Lynn Rosetto Casper, who's also a chef, and she will have other experts with her to talk about your Thanksgiving cooking questions. That's between 10 and 11 this morning. And then a Thanksgiving Day tradition continues at 11 o'clock with Judith Sears Poisson in for Larry Mueller, talking about birds and bird watching and what birds stay in Wisconsin for the winter, and probably the Christmas bird count, and all sorts of other things. That's coming up after 11 this morning. This is our Thanksgiving Day tradition with Connie Kilmark talking about what's the best gift you've ever given or received and why. And we have full lines, so let's turn it over to the callers, Connie. And another Connie in Reidsville joins us. Good morning.
Hi, Connie and Joy.
Hi.
Hi. The best gift I ever received surprised me immensely. I direct a play at the local high school, in May, and my cast are seniors. My crew are all seniors. The seniors in May are kind of a high-stress group to begin with, and this play is always, our tradition is that we put on the play just a couple weeks before graduation, which happens to be right after Mother's Day, or possibly the weekend of Mother's Day. This year it was the week after Mother's Day. So during this week, my daughter, who was at the University of Oshkosh, came back, and she came in with a plate of warm supper at about 3:30 or so in the afternoon. She got herself a ride home from school and found a way to get me a warm supper, and came marching in, said, "Here, Mom, eat. Happy Mother's Day. I'm yours for the next couple of hours."
Wow.
And she just made herself available to do whatever tasks. I said, "Oh, okay." I handed her scissors and some glue, and she went about creating mouse ears and a couple of odd ends that we needed for some costuming items yet. And she was just super. She knew the kind of, this is the why, is she had watched me work with the seniors a couple of years. She had been part of the senior play herself. She knew what that final week was like, and so she made a big point of putting herself into the midst of it all.
So she gave you a great attitude, an unexpected extra pair of hands, and actually some background. She had background in the week.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and she had background with the students, too. And so, you know, I think they were feeling the stress, too. And she was able even to tell them, yep, this is the way it is.
You know, I'll share a minute. Yesterday evening, I had the enormous pleasure. My son is 24, and we did a little cleaning together at my house. He doesn't live at my house. And we made a pie together. And it was the most companionable, most wonderful way to spend time. And it wasn't because of what we did. It was because of the positive energy, the positive mental attitude between us. We were just enjoying each other's company. That's not always the case with early 20s people.
Mm-hmm.
And it was a great pleasure. So I love your story. I love the thoughtfulness and the total unexpectedness of it.
Yes. Connie, thank you. And happy Thanksgiving to you and your daughter. Amanda in Madison is with us now. Hello, Amanda. Happy Thanksgiving.
Hello. Happy Thanksgiving to you.
Hi.
The best gift, it's hard because I've had a very rich life. My parents have provided very well for me. But the best gift that I ever received was one that my grandmothers worked together on to create this beautiful quilt made out of butterflies that were handkerchiefs from their mothers and everybody in our family. When I graduated from my master's program, they put together this quilt secretly, and when I opened it, I just sobbed because I couldn't believe the history that they had given me in the quilt, and I just treasure it. And along with that, my parents had given me a book. I'm a teacher, and the book is called Teacher Man by Frank McCourt.
The
book isn't necessarily my favorite book, but the inscription they put inside saying how proud they were just meant the world to me because I'm the first in my family on both sides to attain a master's degree. And it was my grandmother who made the quilt didn't even finish eighth grade. So it just meant so much to me that they were so proud.
Tell me what you mean when you say a butterfly quilt. I hear the handkerchiefs. Where's the pattern that they
cut? They're fantastic. They fold the handkerchiefs to look like butterflies and
Wow.
then sew them into the quilt. So each antique handkerchief is folded into a butterfly shape and then stitched into a quilt.
What a remarkable object. That is
priceless.
Each object that it came from was special in itself, but to have them collaboratively made that way,
it's incredible. I feel so fortunate.
That's an heirloom.
Yeah,
absolutely.
Amanda, thank you so much for sharing that. That I'm starting to well up a little bit.
And thank you for being a teacher.
Yeah.
Please remember,
we need that now.
You do such important work.
I love it. It's an absolute joy to be in the classroom every day.
Well, and our children spend more time with you in their awake hours than they do with us. So frankly, You are an important force in their lives.
Yeah. Thank you very much, but it's definitely our pleasure. Thank you.
Thank you, Amanda. Thank you for your service. By the way, tomorrow from 7 until 8, we are talking with the coordinator of StoryCorps, which is encouraging everybody to take part in the National Day of Listening. And what you are encouraged to do is to actually talk with family members, even record their stories. And the theme tomorrow is about teachers, and it's to talk to a family member about maybe a teacher that was important in that family member's life and why. And so it's a tribute to teachers. We'll play some stories, some of those tributes, and we'll hear yours tomorrow between 7 and 8 for the National Day of Listening, a tribute to teachers. Wow, that, you know what I also loved about that is that she said that she received this book about teaching, and while it's not her favorite book, the inscription, just the inscription, can be a gift.
It's what makes the book personal.
Mm-hmm. Next we go to Jean in Rice Lake. Hello, Jean.
Good morning and happy Thanksgiving.
Happy Thanksgiving.
The book or the gift that I received, I can't say that it's my favorite because I have 2 daughters and 5 grandchildren, so I don't want to pick favorites, but it is so memorable. One of my daughters has 3 daughters, and she spoke with them and asked them pointed questions about Grandma and Grandpa out of the earshot of the other children. And then she put together a book, and for each question, there's a picture that was drawn. And some of the phrases that the girls came up with was, I like going fishing with Grandpa. We've done that a bunch of times. Grandpa takes fishing. I like ice fishing with Grandpa. And then the youngest said, I like to eat fish.
Aw. But this is, so how, so these are, how old are your grandchildren?
At the time that they made this, they were probably, 7, 7, and 3, probably.
Sure.
I like making supper with Grandma. Grandma Alexa and me like to do Barbie fashion designer on the computer. He has blonde hair and blue eyes, and most of the time he's sitting in his chair, which my husband is very active, so that's kind of funny.
That's funny.
He has blue eyes. Grandpa likes reading the newspaper.
Yeah.
Grandma likes to read to me.
And you have that with you right now. You're looking at it, aren't you?
Yes. In fact, when I heard your show, I went to pick it up and I reread it, and I just smile when I read it. It brings back memories of when they spent time here with us. Their daddy is in the service, so they're not always real close, but they do spend a week or so with us in the summer or around the holidays. So it's wonderful. It's just very memorable, and it's a memorable gift, and it brings back memories. So.
Well, you know, the thing I love about what you've just described is that it's you can't make that when you're 15 and 16 and being cool. The thing that you have is the innocence and the transparency and the vulnerability and the sweetness of an unfiltered way of receiving observations. These are precious because they will not come again from those particular grandkids. I had a spinning teacher once who said, when you sit down at the wheel and you try and try and try and try, keep your early samples of yarn, because when you're just a beginning spinner, you overspin and you make curlicues and the yarn gets lumpy and it's not even and it's a mess in a beautiful, messy way. But of course, at the time, you're so frustrated that you can hardly stand it. But you stay there and you stay there and you spin until finally your hands and your foot get it. And at that point, you can't make that early yarn again. I have tried. There is no way back. It's impossible to make the kind of yarn that I made. So I took her advice, and I look at it with affection, even though at the time I was, how shall we say, a bit exasperated with it.
We have other callers who, it looks like handwritten or handmade books and stories are a popular theme during this hour, and we will take more calls in just a moment, but we're wondering if you're thinking right now about a thoughtful gift that you've given or received in the past and would like to share it with us at 1-800-642-1234 or send an email to talk@wpr.org. You can also post on the Joy Cardine Show Facebook page. It's our annual Thanksgiving Day program on the best gift you've ever given or received and why. What sort of effect did it have on your life or the life of someone else? And, Connie, we had a caller who I guess couldn't wait, who just wanted, I don't know exactly what charity the caller was going to recommend, but I think it was just in general, instead of giving a thing, do some sort of a donation to charity, perhaps on someone else's behalf. And I wonder if you have thoughts about that.
Well, I think it should be part of what we do every single year, whether it's instead of or in addition to. I just think that going beyond ourselves is good mental and emotional and social hygiene, if you will. It's the way that we feel healthy. It's the way that we feel that there's enough. And by sharing some of our enough, whatever it is, with someone who has less, I like it even better if the donation is accompanied by actual service hours, because I think it makes it come to life. You meet and see what you're helping with. I want to say something humorous here. I gave a gift to a butcher yesterday because when I went to pick up the turkey that I was expecting at my local, very local butcher, I had asked him to butterfly the turkey breast because I'm having relatively few guests. And the poor people went back and looked and up and down and looked. And this very dismayed young 20 or 20-something year old non-butcher service person behind the counter came out and said, "There's been a slight misunderstanding." And my face completely fell. He said, it's here. It's here. It's just that it hasn't been prepared the way you asked because no one spoke to the butcher. And I said, uh-huh. And he said, "But the butcher will be in tomorrow morning at 7 a.m. And as soon as he gets here, it will be the very first thing that he does." Now, the secret that I kept, I was very gracious. I think that's the gift that I gave him. The secret that I kept is that we do Thanksgiving dinner later in the day, and so it really is not a problem for me. So when I go in, I'm going to make sure that I tell the butcher, I'm very grateful. I'm glad you're here. I'm so glad that you weren't hit by a bus, and it's not a problem. So graciousness when there's something that goes wrong can go an awfully long way.
Wonderful idea too. So the butcher is in the shop right now doing your
apparently, because the young man said, "I swear on my life." I said, "It's not that big a deal. Yeah. Life will go on, but I really would like that turkey breast."
This might not be exactly the type of gift that most people think about during this program, but I do want to give a shout out to my husband, because what he did last weekend was I was gallivanting around. I had some fun activities with friends and other family, and there were reasons why he wasn't going to be coming along with me as I went out of town and other things. He cleaned the refrigerator while I was gone. Now, is that a gift or what?
I just did that this week, and honestly, I'm so giddy that I keep opening my refrigerator. It's so beautiful.
I know. It's like there's room in it, and it's white. And
it's clean.
Yeah, so, but I just thought that was just, you know, he didn't have to do that.
That's
and
really
and
sweet.
Not that it was my job, but I just thought it was a gift.
Very sweet.
And Danny in Oshkosh is with us now. Hello, Danny.
Hi, Danny.
Hi, how are you today?
Good. Happy Thanksgiving.
Thank you. You too. I just wanted to share, when I was young, so my sister is one of the most important people in my life. I lost my mother a long time ago, and she really has helped me through it and been there for me more than a sister. And when we were young, I was probably 6, she was probably around 12. She, for Christmas one year, wrote me a story about me and our childhood dog, Jack, and how I was a princess, and we ran around, slaying dragons, and to this day, it is the most memorable gift I've ever gotten. And I just, about a year ago, I reminded her of it, and she had no recollection, and I could just tell by the look on her face that it made her so happy that something for her that seemed so little made such an impact in my life.
So here's the magic once again. This is exactly what happens, Danny. Somebody plots and thinks, and the pleasure of the gift that she gave you started happening way before you knew that that gift was coming, because inside her mind, it was being born. She was making it. She was anticipating your pleasure. You received it. You received pleasure. She shared whatever pleasure you were looking like you were having at the moment. Now what you've done is you've done that gift all over again by giving it back to her in memory. Mm-hmm. And so the gift keeps going in a circle. There is really no, any gift is a circle. Whenever a gift is given, it isn't a one-way street. If it is, something is kind of dead in that kind of gift.
Yeah, something's been lost in translation.
Yeah, the gift that you're describing is alive.
Mm-hmm.
And I imagine you still have the book.
I do. I still have it. I actually, it was about a year ago, I was digging through all the, you know, old stuff that we had put away after my mom died.
Yeah.
You know, hadn't looked through it in a while. I was uncovering a lot of memories, and I pulled it out, and it just brought me so much joy to sit down and read through it again. And it's wonderful. My sister means so much to me, and I'm so grateful to have her and my whole family and such wonderful friends in my life.
What's her first name?
Jessica.
Thank you, Jessica.
Yes, and thank you, Danny and Jessica, and I think it's wonderful that you were able to tell her how much she meant to you.
Great story.
Thank you, Danny. Another book, Jamie in Green Bay. Hello, Jamie.
Hello, happy Thanksgiving.
Happy Thanksgiving.
Same to you.
About 8 years ago, my father passed away from cancer. I was 21 at the time. I had a 17-year-old brother and a 23-year-old sister, and we knew it was our last Father's Day with him. So in preparation for that, we made him a leather-bound book where we each split up a pack of index cards and just went to town writing all the lessons he's taught us, all the things we learned from him, things we were grateful for.
I know why you're crying, Jamie. I'm crying too. How touching.
It was years ago, but it sticks with me. And so we read it to him on Father's Day, and we were blessed to have 6 more weeks with him after that. And my grandmother, his mom, asked if we would be willing to read parts of it at his funeral, which was probably one of the most trying things that I've ever done, but one of the most rewarding as well, because we got to share with everybody some of the lessons that he has taught us just by being who he was. And it was by far the best gift I've ever given.
Well, it's another gift, Jamie, in which you gave back to him gifts that he had already given to you. You collected them. Instead of one at a time here and there, you brought them all together like a large basket of wisdom. And it reminds me of how important the process of a funeral really is. I'm struck as I age and I become a little bit more mature at how valuable for the people who gather such an event is. Not the show of it, but the gathering, the people, and strangely enough, the food, because eating is continuing life. But it's the meaningfulness and the fact that you got that through that, you were able to read some of that at the funeral. It's a gift further to the people who came to share fellowship with you and to be of support and to celebrate his life. So,
Go ahead. I think for myself and my sister and brother, it really was a way to bring us together as well in the making of it and just kind of celebrate some of the wonderful things that made him who he was and allowed us to heal and mourn and go through this process together. And it just brought us together as well, which was another gift out of the whole
situation.
Well, he was one of the sculptors of your life. He's a big chapter in the novel that's you. You know, you're a book, and he's a big piece of that book. So,
yeah, and I love that it was the lessons learned from the father that the children, Jamie, you and your siblings were able to you know, talk about all you've learned from him.
Yeah.
A word to those of us that are aging into our 60s, 70s, and perhaps 80s, start creating your legacy letter to your children and your grandchildren. Write down what matters to you in life. Start thinking about that as a different kind of will, a will that transmits the values, not scolding, not lessons, but wisdom that you've earned and learned, sometimes the hard way over life, things that you have come to value. That kind of legacy letter can be a tremendously meaningful gift to the next generation.
Yes, what a gift. And Jamie, happy Thanksgiving to you. What a wonderful gift that you put together with your family.
Yeah.
And let's see, let's take a short pause. We will take more of your calls for Connie Kilmark, who is the founder of the counseling and consulting firm Kilmark & Associates. Connie joins us every Thanksgiving morning at this time and has for many, many years for this annual Thanksgiving Day tradition. What is the best gift you've ever given or received and why? And this doesn't have to be a thing or an object. It can be an experience. It doesn't have to be something, you know, some expensive gadget. It can just be a thoughtful, heartfelt a gift.
In fact, it's never an expensive gadget. That's what we've discovered over all these years.
Right. 1-800-642-1234 or send an email to talk@wpr.org. You can also post on the Joy Cardine Show Facebook page. This is the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. This is the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. I'm Joy Cardine, talking with Connie Kilmark, the founder of the counseling and consulting firm Kilmark & Associates, talking with us about the best gifts that we've ever given or received and why. And our next caller is Teresa in Viroqua. Good morning.
Oh, thanks so much for this program. It's one of my favorites. Mm-hmm. My mother, she died back in 1993, but she was very, very sick at Christmas time. She had cancer and needed to go into the hospital and really just didn't want to go because she knew she was close to dying and didn't want to give it up. You know, she wanted to spend her last Christmas with her grandchildren, but we all pressed her to go in because, of course, we didn't want her to die. But, you know, when you're dealing with a situation like that with someone you love who's dying, you know, what do you do for Christmas? What do you do as far as a gift? I mean, that's when it really gets real for you.
Yes.
You know, and so what we did at the Christmas morning, really, we got all the grandchildren together. She had six grandchildren. My oldest son was just 8 at the time, and we practiced a little nativity play, and we dressed them all up like Joseph and Mary, and the youngest was baby Jesus, and she was just a little over a year old. Oh. And we actually smuggled them in up through the side stairs because children weren't allowed up, you know, as visitors. But we smuggled them into just the lobby and had my mom rolled out into the lobby, ostensibly to visit with us. And then they all came out of the stairwell and sang for her. And, I mean, the nurses were in tears, and, of course, we were in tears. And one of my sisters had the foresight to videotape it. You know, that was such a gift to her, but also really a gift to us because it brought her so much happiness in the last little bit of her life. And, you know, there was no gift we could have given that would have meant, you know, anywhere near as much as that meant to all of us. So
I love the organization. I love the secrecy. Every gift that you perpetrate like a perfect crime, with all the planning and the plotting, It's the giving that it starts giving way before you actually transmit the gift. But think about the fact that you had all these unexpected gift recipients, that whole staff.
That's right.
And I love the fact that baby Jesus was a girl. I love it. Why not? It's a baby. It's a tremendous gift.
Thank you for sharing that. What a wonderful gift you did give, and we appreciate you sharing it with us. Teresa, a happy Thanksgiving.
Happy Thanksgiving.
And very sorry for the loss of your mother, and talking about a lot of loss here on the show today, but
But celebration as well.
Yes, that's right. That's right. And it is. It's celebrating that person's life through this this gift giving. Here's something from the other scale. Robin Madison, who's also Rob Ferret, one of the producers of this show, sent an email. And this is a little different. He says, "My brother was born 2 days before my 5th birthday, and I saw him for the first time on my birthday. I didn't fully appreciate it at the time or for some years after." Word for that matter. but that turned out to be the best birthday gift ever. Isn't that sweet?
Well, now there's a gift that only slowly unwraps itself because it starts off often for the older brother with a certain amount of what's rightfully called sibling rivalry.
Yeah, I was going to say. Yeah.
Oh, absolutely. But, you know, no one else was there. If you have a sibling, later you'll discover that your memories of the same events are different. And they're like facets. They're like different facets of similar events. But boy, is it helpful as you move along in life to have someone else who kind of knew you and knew your family in a similar way. It's just one of those preciousness things that you just can't beat.
Well, I'm gonna lighten things up just a little bit, Connie, and share that. I have on a pair of tennis shoes. They were just a simple white pair of tennies that a very close girlfriend, a lifelong girlfriend, decorated. She painted them. She put a little football on the shoelaces. She put a big green G on them. They're green and gold. They are Packer shoes. And she is a big Packer fan. She knows that I grew up being a Packer fan as well. The reason, though, she gave me this gift that she made was also that we went to a Packer game as a group of friends, and we could all wear these matching shoes. And it was just a wonderful event. And now when I look at the shoes, I think of the closeness that I have with that lifelong friend. And I wear them every once in a while still.
Well, I saw them today when I came into the studio.
What is that?
They are so cool that I would like to have the instructions for how to make them, the kind of paint she used. In addition, I'm reminded of a recent reunion in New York City from my high school class. There are two really close friends, and we went to see a play while I was there. I was there for a weekend. And after we came back from the play and had dinner together, one of these friends said, "What do we think about that play?" And I loved her question because the sense of not what do you think, but what do we think, invited a safe conversation to open that was cozy. It was, we shared this experience. What is our group mind? What do we want to reflect about this? I just loved feeling that cozy sense of being with good girlfriends. So
yeah, that's right, that shared experience. And I forgot to mention that we actually didn't go to the stadium during that game. This was a tailgate and just kind of watching it at an establishment. And it was
indoor tailgate.
Yeah, right. But it was still, it was to be together. And it was the experience more so than the actual object that
because
I received.
Because these are sort of skinny tennis shoes. And so they, in a certain month in Lambeau,
they wouldn't be warm enough. But we have other callers, and let's go to Jerry in Menasha. Hi, Jerry.
Hi. As I reflect many, many years ago upon the lowest point in my life, I was ill. I was broke. A friend of mine got on a bus bringing his record player and some records of my very, very favorite singer.
Oh.
With him, visited me, played the records for me to lift my heart, and he did, and I've never forgotten it.
Who is your favorite singer, Jerry?
Oh, well, this is Bessie Smith. This is an old blues singer that's been long gone.
Well, you know, she can sing about hard times and just make hard times easier.
Yes.
Ah, wait, and what a great friend. I mean, that's wonderful. Jerry, thank you so much. Marta in Green Bay is with us. Hello, Marta.
Hello.
Hi there.
Hi, what is the best gift you've ever given or received?
I'm a caregiver, and I work with people who are elderly and sometimes who have dementias. And I worked with a man who his dementia also involved hallucinations. And the people around him, he would see things, and the people around him were made very uncomfortable by that. And so after a while, he'd stop describing what he was seeing, and he'd just kind of keep it to himself. And one day we were sitting, and he said to me, "Do you see that over there? Do you see that?" And I said, "Oh no, I don't see anything. I don't see anything." And he looked very discouraged, and he got up and he went in the other room, and I went with him and sat down on the couch next to him, and I said, "Do you know the things that you see? I really wish I could see them, because the things you see, they seem so interesting and beautiful, and I wish I could see them." And he looked down at his hands, and he said, "Can you see that?" And I said, "No, why don't you describe it to me?" And it was a basket of flowers, and he described the whole basket, and all these beautiful flowers that were in the basket, all these different bright colors. And then there was a silence. And then he picked his hands up, and he reached over, and he put it into my hand.
Aww.
And he died maybe 6 months later. And it was just one of the most wonderful gifts that I've ever received. And every once in a while, you know, I'll look down at my own hands and I'll see that, because he described it so well. And I just don't think I've received any other gifts that just, you know, just struck me as so comforting and also so beautiful.
Yeah, he gave her flowers.
And he saw them.
Yeah.
And he made her see them.
And you gave, Marta gave the man a gift, too, by having him describe and take his visions for real.
Giving him the dignity of saying, "What do you see?" And of course, now, Marta, what you've done is give it to our, give that basket of flowers to our listening audience in a certain kind of way. So Wisconsin now has an image because they saw it on the radio. They saw those flowers on the radio.
Thank you very much, Marta. You know, we have just time for one last call. I'm going to go to Joshua in Richland Center. Hello, Joshua.
Hello.
Hi, Joshua.
May the circle be unbroken, the circle of life, breath by the way of trees, water by way of rain to aquifer and springs, nutrients by the way of soil, medicine by the way of plants and roots, love by the way of kind action. Earth provides us this, and we must provide Earth by way of symbiosis. And I give a gift of the actions in which we make, and I extend that to all of my brothers and sisters, to love life and to respect and to know the people who grow the food, to know your medicine, and to spend time around the meal today and look at each other in the eyes. And when you see them in the eyes, you see the roots of life. And may we just give thanks for having one more day to be here on Earth, because we know our time is slipping if we don't change.
Joshua, thank you. We have less than 30 seconds, Connie. Well, that's maybe a nice way to...
It's such a diverse and wonderful morning. It's the way that I go back to chopping my onions and getting my celery, and so it's always a transcendent morning, and you never know what the state of Wisconsin will have been saving up all year. So start saving now for next year, everybody.
Yeah, we'll do it again. Happy Thanksgiving, everyone, and Connie too. Connie Kilmark, founder of the counseling and consulting firm Kilmark and Associates. I'm Joy Cardine. This is the Ideas Network. Happy Thanksgiving.